Dear listeners, a quick note about today's episode. The events depicted are based on a real-life story, though some names have been changed, and we have used actors to reenact scenes. In most cases, we cannot be certain exactly what was said, but all of our dramatizations are based on research.
It's the morning of July 17th, 1995 in Pretoria, South Africa. The sun is shining brightly, but the weather is a bit chilly. A Toyota Corolla drives into the parking lot of an office building. Behind the wheels of the car is 34-year-old Eva Middleton. She parks the car, grabs her handbag, her water flask, steps out and quickly makes her way into the office building. She has a lot of work to do. Eva is a forensic psychologist and the first criminal profiler in South Africa. Her job is to analyze the evidence and develop a psychological picture of a criminal's behavior and characteristics. Eva loves her job, and just 2 days before, she was assigned to a task force at the Pretoria Murder and Robbery Unit. The task force is looking into a string of murders that have been happening in Atteridgeville. Atteridgeville is a small town 30 minutes west of Pretoria and about a 1 hour drive from Johannesburg. Eva enters her office where she has files tacked on her desk. Inside her office is a bit warmer. She drops her flask and handbag, then she removes her coat. And as she sits, she picks up one of the files on her office desk. The file is for the first victim found in Atteridgeville. The woman's body was found on the 4th of January 1995. When she was found, her skin was already decomposed, exposing her intestines. Her dress was drawn up over her breast and there was no ID for her. Eva drops the file and picks up the next one, the second victim, 27-year-old Beauty Soko. Beauty was found on February 9, 1995, about 1 month after the first victim. Her body was left naked with her clothes on top of her and stones were placed on her body. According to the file, Beauty had left her home in January to visit her sister in Pretoria but never made it back home. Eva goes through another victim's file, 25-year-old Sarah Mukono. Sarah's body was discovered by construction workers in Atteridgeville on the 6th of March 1995, about 2 months after the first victim was found. Sarah had left her home on the 3rd of March to meet a man about a job. Eva drops the file and picks up another file, Letta Ndlanga Mandla. Letta was found dead in a veld, an open field in Atteridgeville. 8 days after her body was found, her son, a toddler at the time, was discovered not far from his mother's body. He had an open bruise on his head. Eva goes through more files and she starts to notice a pattern. All of these women were young black women, killed in almost the same way. They were strangled and raped. As she's about to pick up another file, her phone begins to ring. She drops the file and picks up the phone.
Hello, this is Eva.
Hello, Eva.
It's Jacob, the head of the task force.
Good morning, sir.
The police just found another body. We need to head to the crime scene.
Oh, okay. I'm coming out now.
Eva hangs up, grabs a jota and dashes out of her office. She walks out of the building and gets into Jacob's car. As they drive to meet the rest of the team, her mind is still on the case files she just reviewed. She's beginning to think this might be the work of a serial killer. Eva and Jacob arrive at the crime scene. It's a forest in the Atteridgeville area. There are already a handful of police and forensic experts roaming all over the place. The stench in the area is overpowering. Jacob hands Eva a face mask. She puts on the mask and walks over to where the body is. The body, a woman, is laying on her stomach, fully clothed. Eva moves closer to the body. One of the forensic experts lifts the cloth covering the body. Eva is immediately taken aback by what she sees. The woman's face is covered with maggots the size of a rugby ball, feasting on her rotten face. Eva is shocked by the scene, but she catches her breath and walks forward again to look closely at the body. The woman had been strangled with a piece of her clothing, same pattern as the others. Eva knew in her guts that a new serial killer is in Atteridgeville. A few hours later, Eva is back in her office in Pretoria. She drops her notepad on her office desk and reaches for a pack of cigarettes and lighter from her coat pocket. Eva taps one of the cigarettes out of the pack and lights it. She knows that serial killers will kill until they are stopped. This one has already killed at least 8 women already. She takes a drag from her cigarette and slowly exhales. Eva drops her cigarette in the ashtray, opens a file on her desk, and takes out the picture of the victim that she just saw in the forest, Granny Remelo. She turns to tape the photo to the whiteboard in her office. The board already has the photos of 8 other victims and a collage of news clippings about the murders. As she's about to tape the photo, there's a knock on her office door.
Come in.
A chubby man in his mid-40s enters the room. He's dressed in a dark blue jeans and a grey long sleeve shirt. This is Jacob Peterson, head of the Atteridgeville Task Force.
Hey, Alpha.
Hi.
Jacob walks over to stand in front of the whiteboard.
So, what do you think?
I mean, it's definitely a serial killer. I just can't tell if it's one killer or if there are multiple killers.
Yeah, I know. Some of the patterns are not the same. This one, her hands were left untied.
As he speaks, Jacob points at the images on the whiteboard.
This one had her hands tied in front, this one at the back. This woman is strangled with a piece of cloth. But this one, he used a garrote. It's not consistent. It doesn't correlate.
No. But hang on. I think we've been looking at the bodies in the wrong way.
How do you mean?
We have been looking at the bodies in the order that they were found, right?
Yeah.
How about if we look at them the order they died? So?
Eva picks up one of the files on her table and shows it to Jacob.
There is a progression in how they have been killed.
Exactly. So the killer, which I now think is one person, and he is a man, he's been getting more advanced with each killing. At first, he left the women's hands untied. Then he started to tie the victim's hands in front, then at the back, making it easier for him to control his victims. And this latest victim, Granny, she was strangled with a piece of cloth. He is progressing to methods that will allow him to enjoy the killing.
That bastard. He's torturing them.
Yes. And I think this is just the beginning. If we don't catch him soon, he is going to come up with more ways to torture his victims.
Over the next several weeks, Eva and the tax team continue to find the bodies of the decomposing women, and just like Eva had predicted, the killer was using more violent methods to strangle his victims. For example, 2 women's bodies were found hanging from trees, and all the victims were black women who had gone missing while on the jump hunt. It's the 13th of August, almost a month since they found Granny's body in the forest, and Eva is reviewing new cases in her office. Her phone begins to ring. She picks up.
Hello?
Hello, Eva. It's Jacob. The police have arrested someone. Can you come to the interrogation room upstairs?
Really? Yeah, of course. On my way.
Eva leaves her office and heads upstairs. As she walks to the interrogation room, her mind is racing. She can't believe the killer has been caught. She approaches the interrogation room where she sees Jacob and another detective in front of the door. From afar, Eva could hear the detective.
Why did you call her?
She's very important. We need her to identify if he's really the killer.
The detective goes inside as Eva walks up to Jacob.
He is not happy I'm here.
No, he's not.
Do you think that's our guy in there?
Well, I don't know. He was caught trying to rape a friend's daughter, and he confessed to the killings.
Just like that?
Just like that. He told the police in Atteridgeville he did it and that he has personality disorder.
What?
I know. Come, I want you to meet him.
They both enter the interrogation room. Inside the room, the other detective is seated, and to his right is a man in handcuffs. The man is in his late 30s. Jacob takes a seat and Eva does the same. Eva is studying the suspect.
So, how do you kill this woman?
I rape and strangle them.
Just like that? Why?
I think it is because I have multiple personality disorder.
What do you mean by multiple personality disorder?
You know, I change into different people every day. Like now, I am a German soldier.
Oh, speaking the Deutsch?
The Deutsch speaking Schmerz Kammerstewers, yeah.
What?
That doesn't make any sense. You're not speaking German.
I swear to you, I am not lying.
As the interrogation proceeded, the suspect claimed to be an Arab man and even a woman.
Detective, I am an Arab woman also. Detective.
At this point, Eva knew this wasn't how multiple personality disorder works, and she's convinced this is not their serial killer. She steps out of the room and Jacob and the detective follow her.
He is not our guy.
You don't know that.
Come on. That's the poorest attempt at faking multiple personality that I had ever seen. He's definitely not our guy.
I mean, he was caught red-handed trying to rape and strangle a girl.
I know. I mean, yeah, he's a criminal. Just not the one we're looking for. He's not smart enough. The guy we're looking for is smart. He has a method. Something is driving him to kill. I don't think he's just raping and strangling these women randomly. I mean, he's not going after sex workers. He is specifically targeting young black career women. The guy we're looking for is a man in his late 20s. The guy in there is in his 30s. I also think our guy is a flashy dresser and a sophisticated ladies' man.
Yeah, I guess he has to be. That is how he's getting access to these bright young women. They'll be more inclined to follow someone who resembles a businessman.
Exactly. And he probably drives a car too.
Oh, come on, Jacob. Are you buying all of this? A car? Well-dressed?
Look. If we think it is the guy in that room, then let's have him take us to where he buried the bodies.
When the suspect was asked to point out where he buried his victims, he failed. He pointed out the wrong crime scenes, proving he was not the one they were looking for. The serial killer was still at large, and between August and September, more bodies turned up around the Attridgeville area. It's 6 a.m. on the 19th of September. Another month has gone by and Eva is on her way to Boksburg. Boksburg is about an hour's drive south from Pretoria. The night before, Eva had received a call from Jacob. A police reservist had discovered a decomposing woman's body while taking his dog out for a walk in Van Dyck Mine. Van Dyck Mine is this big open gold mining field in Boksburg. The police stormed the area and found 9 more bodies. Eva arrives at the scene. She parks her car and steps out. Jacob waves her over. Eva takes a few steps in his direction and suddenly stops when she's hit by the strong stench of death and decomposing bodies. Eva holds her breath as she continues to walk towards Jacob. She can see decomposed bodies scattered over the veld, some only a few meters away from others.
Hey, are you all right?
Mm-hmm.
Eva responds through her nose, trying not to breathe in the air. She looks to her right and just a few feet away, a woman's body is lying on her stomach. Eva notices the skin around her arms had not bloated yet.
These bodies are fresh.
Yes. Some are very recent.
Eva scans the area. Everywhere she turns, there's a body.
This place is like his dumping ground.
Yes, I think he was bringing his guests here to scare them in some way.
So like showing his new victims old bodies in order to get them to be submissive.
Exactly.
Eva looks around the field. Her eyes fall on another body, a woman wearing jeans. And there was a wet patch on her jeans where she had wet herself. She must have been afraid. Eva suddenly feels very tired. She walks back to her car and alone in her car, she sobs. In the next few days, Eva continues to study the Van Dyck Mine crime scene. The women found dead, just like the other victims, were bound, raped, and strangled. In the end, only six of these women were identified. The police tried to keep the Van Dyke Mine location a secret away from the public, but the news was leaked. People stormed the area, and even the president at the time, Nelson Mandela, visited the site. Now, there's more urgency around the case, and another task force was set up. This particular task force was much smaller, more tight-lipped. Even Eva was kept out of the loop. There's a knock on the door. Kwazi and her husband are at home, and they weren't expecting anyone that day. Kwazi goes to open the door. On the other side were two police officers.
Good day, ma'am. Sorry to bother you.
Kwazi calls up to her husband and he walks over to the front door.
Can we help you? Does this phone number belong to you?
The officers show Kwazi a piece of paper with a number on it.
Yes, that's our home phone number. Is there something wrong? Do you know the name Amelia Ropadili?
No, but I do remember writing that name down. Hang on.
Kwazi goes inside and returns with a jotter. She flips through it.
Yes, here's the name, Amelia Ropadili.
She shows the officers the name, and underneath the name is a number. Below Amelia's information, the police see other names and numbers for Mildred Lepuli, Makoba Makutsi, and Monica. The officers look at each other. Kwazi rushes to explain.
These are just names of job seekers for my brother's NGO. It's called Youth Against Abuse. He told me to write down the contact information of anyone calling for a job.
Where is your brother now?
Moses, I don't know. He usually just calls to collect the information.
What's his full name?
Moses Sitole.
It's late September and the police have the name of their lead suspect, but they have managed to keep this information away from the public. For weeks now, the police have not released any new information to the public. The press conferences have become a routine just to let the public know they are still working the case. One morning after a press conference, Eva is walking to her car and a few journalists rush to catch up with her.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Can you give us any comments on the case? Anything new?
I haven't been involved in the investigation recently, so I have nothing to share.
Do you think he'll be caught?
I'm sure the police will catch him. I think ever since the police stopped sharing information, the killer is getting anxious. He is going to call someone soon. Someone who he thinks has some kind of information about what is going on. He might even call one of you.
Join us next week to find out who is on the other end of that call. For this episode, we relied on several sources, including the A&E biography Moses Sitole, The South African Strangler, True Crime South Africa, the podcast, and Catch Me a Killer, a book written by Mickey Pistorius. We will include the links to our sources in the episode notes. True Crime Niger is a Triple E Media production. Production copyright 2021 Triple E Media Productions. This episode was written by John Iwudi and Ramat Mohammed. Produced by Senet Ewa and Antonietta Kalinta. Directed by Senet Ewa and Antonietta Kalinta. Executive producer Ramat Mohammed. Sound recording Sam Tabakaji and Double D Tabakaji. Mixing and mastering Nico Rivers. Special thanks to Richard Andrew as Eva. Jide Bolarinwa as Jacob. Gabriel Gar as Junior Detective. Eunice Honshi Donat as Kwasi, Sariki, Ahmed Abdullahi Aluga, John Iwudi, Sam Tabakaji, Prince Gilbert Owen, and Joy Bulus Anzai.